Last month, a federal task force considering the future of the mall in Washington, D.C., proposed a master plan that would change the way future memorials and museums are developed and built there. The idea is to preserve the historic open space of the Capitol's monumental core, and it comes just as ground has been broken for yet another new memorial, the World War II Memorial. Like they did with all the other memorials put up in Washington during the last two decades, people have fought and are still fighting over where the World War II Memorial should be built and how it should look. The first time it happened was over the design of the Vietnam Memorial in the 1980s. The designer Maya Lin had imagined a black granite V, minimalist and somber. Conservatives saw the plan as another example of the liberal cultural conspiracy. Are you now or have you ever been an abstractionist? They demanded something traditional and figurative. And 2 years after the memorial wall was dedicated, the conservatives got their three life-sized realistic sculptures of infantrymen, that adjacent bit of John Wayne and Norman Rockwell that they thought they wanted. I say thought they wanted because once the Vietnam Memorial was open, once tens of millions of Americans made their pilgrimages and experienced the space and stroked the wall, who failed to be moved? Go there today, and it's not liberals and art snobs ignoring the banal statues in favor of the magnificent, heartbreaking black wall. But that was Vietnam. We have problems these days knowing exactly how to memorialize old-fashioned military heroism. In the debate over the World War II memorial, a few of the arguments are ideological. Some people want a more celebratory design. But the debate is mainly aesthetic, not political, and this time I think the opponents have got it right. The site for the World War II memorial on the Mall is wrong, both too intrusive and too small, just 7 measly acres to commemorate a great and noble war. And worse, the design is deeply unimaginative. Abstract, but a kind of dull Soviet-style abstraction. 2 giant arches and 56 granite columns surrounding a pool. It's a pity. Elsewhere in our culture just now, we've arrived at a moment of extreme appreciation for the victory of the Second World War. A kind of spontaneous national standing ovation. The movie Saving Private Ryan did not flinch from depicting the screeching, bloody nightmare of combat, even as it glorified that most extremely old-fashioned of old-fashioned virtues, doing one's duty.
Private James Ryan is well, and at this very moment, on his way home from European battlefields.
And now there's a new Disney movie about the beginning of World War II. Pearl Harbor will probably be the big film this summer. And The Greatest Generation. That book has sold its millions and millions of copies, not because its author is a TV star.
As I walk the beaches of Normandy on the 40th and 50th anniversaries of D-Day, I first began to realize how they had shaped my life.
But because it they provides a way for us to finally salute the achievement of our forebears, of people like my father in the Philippines and my father-in-law in Normandy. These days, when it comes to celebrating military heroism, we're more comfortable with memorials in the form of software, a film, a book, than with old-fashioned marble and bronze memorial hardware. I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360.